Good morning. This is Brian Trumbore with your Week in Review for Saturday, May 14th. Excuse me. It was another week about commodities and Europe, with the latter's troubles impacting the euro-dollar relationship and thus the price of the former. After commodities swooned the prior week from a CRB index of 370 to 337, metals, oil, and such attempted to rally as the dollar weakened early on, only to fall back again by week's end. The performance of silver was once again telling as it rallied from $35 to $39 plus by Wednesday morning, only to tumble all the way back and hit $32.30 on Thursday before basically finishing the week unchanged at $35. For its part, the CRB also finished the week basically unchanged at $3.38. while gold and oil added $2. In other words, hardly the kind of snapback rally expected after the carnage of May 2nd through 6th. For a second straight week, the dollar was the currency of choice. Boy, my timing on my Paris adventure could not have been worse, as the worst levels for the greenback were hit while I was there. And the European debt crisis once again took center stage. 1 year after a $157 billion rescue package from the European Union and International Monetary Fund, Greece is on death's door. Whether you are talking restructuring or default, both could be catastrophic for the banking system on the continent, with knock-on effects elsewhere, including in the U.S. The Greek government has little credibility remaining, and the interest rate the market is charging on two-year notes says it all, 26.7% at one point this week, 15.7% on 10-year paper, just a little above the benchmark German 10-year Bund yield of 3.10%. While Greece's GDP rose 0.8% in the first quarter, for the full year, it is still expected to fall about 3%, and the prime immediate issue is it must roll over some $20 billion in sovereign debt in March of next year, as the original EU bailout projected that the Greek government would be able to do so at an interest rate of 5.6%, or 10% less than today. Ain't gonna happen, sports fans. Greece requires more and more euro from the other 16 members, plus non-euro Britain, and the latter already said there is no way they'd lend the Greeks more, while German Chancellor Angela Merkel said extra help would be available for Greece if it established that it was taking the tough measures needed to curb a debt burden now estimated at over 150% of GDP for 2011 on its way to 166 in 2012. Merkel added, "We can offer solidarity only if Greece's stability and eagerness to reform is proven." Well, look what's happened the first year of the bailout. The government may be earnest in its efforts, but the people don't feel like playing along, particularly when it comes to paying taxes. This past week also saw the ninth work stoppage since last May. Then there's Portugal. Its $110 billion bailout package is to be approved at a critical EU finance ministers' meeting this coming Monday and Tuesday. Portugal's political parties have approved it, but the proposal needs the okay of all 17 euro members, and you have the issue of Finland. Now, it's said the True Finns, the nationalist anti-bailout party, dropped out of negotiations to be in the new government. And this was good. But the True Finns weren't supposed to be part of any parliamentary vote on giving aid to Portugal in the first place after an agreement was struck on this last week. Instead, from my reading of the situation, and this could be very dated by the time you hear it, the Social Democratic Party renewed its demand that private investors must share the burden of EU bailouts along with taxpayers. The Social Democrats, it's my understanding, are demanding changes to the Portuguese deal to placate furious Finnish voters who are tired of bailing out their drunken sailor cousins down south. Portugal, by the way, saw its economy sink 0.7% in the first quarter, worse than expected, as its debt is now expected to be 101% of GDP this year and 107% next, up from earlier projections by the EU of 89% and 92% respectively. Ireland is in a similar boat, a gloomier than initially forecast outlook on this front. Excuse me a second. The taste of water. But here's the bottom line. European officials are running around saying the sky is not falling, even though it is. And what further compounds matters is that you do indeed have economies such as those of Germany, France, and Austria that are doing fine. So most folks look at the Eurozone first quarter growth figure of 0.8% over the fourth quarter and think things can't possibly be that bad. But for the Euro, they are. The exposures to Greek, Portuguese, and Irish sovereign debt are enormous. For example, about $240 billion in Greek government debt is held by Eurobanks, including $160 billion between Germany and France alone. Britain and Germany hold a combined $450 billion in Irish government paper. So, EU officials don't like to use the terms restructuring or default, which are really one and the same, because the ripple effect would indeed be catastrophic for Europe's banking system when you're writing down massive amounts and then find yourself in violation of capital requirements with no one wanting to lend you any more funds. Oh, there's a solution. Just throw more money at it, like the Ponzi scheme effect I quoted an expert on last time, the former Argentine central bank governor who would know a thing or two about such matters. But that's when politics gets in the way, as in how often can certain politicians, be they in Germany, Finland, Austria, or Britain, continue to ask their taxpayers to willingly shell out some of their hard-earned wages for Greece? Cue Dick Vitale. Are you kidding me? Europe is a freaking mess, and the risk of a major domino effect is very real. But does it happen this week? 2 months from now? 2012? Who knows, but the authentic day of reckoning is nigh, and just extending the maturities, as some are putting forward, doesn't cut it. And for those who say, well, Greece and Portugal could just leave the EU and start over, it's not that simple, though it could easily come to that. I mean, imagine, the Portuguese government is now going to freeze public workers' salaries and pensions through 2013 and cut pensions of more than 1,500 euros a month as part of their austerity plan. The people aren't going to be happy, even if this is what they deserve. Again, see Greece. What it is, friends, as I've been describing for a long time now, is a situation that is also ripe for anarchists who were in the streets of Athens again this week. Throw in my immigration powder keg and you have a recipe for real trouble, none of which will be conducive to a happy consumer if they are forced to dodge Molotov cocktails in the streets of their major cities. I just saw this headline, Greece, from Greece, nationalist mobs attack immigrants in Athens. Yes, I've been painting a bleak picture, but I was doing so when it came to Ireland during the bubble, and look how that turned out. Bad for them, with the first official reading on property prices being released on Friday that shows Dublin values cratered 47% in 4 years, but pretty good in terms of my own credibility. Two final thoughts. When it comes to our own debt and an issue I'm convinced comes to a head in 2012 in terms of market reaction because Congress and the American people won't make the hard decisions needed to address our looming Greek-like mess, party leaders met with the President and point man Vice President Biden this week, with both sides agreeing that Social Security is off the table, which is beyond absurd because it's the one entitlement that could be fixed over a beer at your favorite tavern. Raise the retirement age further, gradually, period. I'd go for means testing as well on mega millionaires, but it's not necessary. The system only needs to be tweaked, and it should take one Oval Office address with a few simple charts to convince the people. But, again, Congress and the White House can't even do this. This week we learned that the Social Security Trust Fund will be exhausted by 2036 rather than 2037 as projected last year. But of course, a bigger issue is Medicare, with the trustees announcing Friday that it will run out of money by 2024, not the previous projection of 2029. This is a code red for that one. Yet now that Republican Congressman Paul Ryan laid out his plans for cuts to the program, Republicans are running scared because they are going back to their districts and all the know-nothings are screaming, "Don't cut my Medicare." It's at times like these when I really feel down on America. We're supposed to be special, but instead we act like a bunch of damn Greeks. So no, Congress will not make the tough choices. Oh, as I noted the other week, the debt ceiling will get extended and both sides will talk a good game about the spending cuts that accompanied the hike in the $14.3 trillion limit. And I imagine the markets might react pretty well and the dollar will rally, which will be another blow for commodities. But upon inspection, saner heads will offer, "This package is like a Peggy Lee fastball. Is that all there is?" The hard choices will be put off until 2013 and beyond. But I'm telling you, we'll face real turmoil in the stock and bond markets before then. One little side note. Ironically, the worst thing that can happen is for government revenues to continue to improve as they have been owing to the recovery. This only makes it easier for our esteemed representatives in Washington to put off the hard choices that will very much remain. Lastly, China reported April consumer prices rose 5.3% versus 5.4% in March, but a little hotter than expected. However, most are in agreement that the situation on this front will improve, though it's too early to tell about the crop outlook here as it is across much of the globe. China also reported exports surged a better than expected 30% in April, which didn't exactly please the likes of the U.S., but industrial production, up 13%, and retail sales, up 17%, were actually a little lighter than forecast, so everyone is talking of a slowdown here, but it all seems pretty good to me. Stocks were mixed, with the Dow Jones falling 0.3% to 12,595, and the S&P 500 declining 0.2%. But NASDAQ tacked on a measly point to 2828. The figures mask the intraday volatility on the week owing to the Greek crisis and its impact on the dollar-euro relationship and thus commodities. Two polls of note. An NBC Wall Street Journal survey had only 37% approving of President Obama's handling of the economy, while an AP GFK survey had 4 in 10 believing the economy will get better, 31% in the Wall Street Journal poll. Treasuries were basically unchanged as the inflation data for April came in as expected. The producer price index was a little hot, up 0.8%, but ex-food and energy was up 0.3%. Year over year, the PPI is up 6.8% and 2.1% on the core. Yes, 6.8 is high, but I'm in the inflation is transitory camp. Consumer prices rose 0.4% for the month, 0.2% on core, with the year-ago comparisons showing the CPI up 3.2%, but only 1.3x the stuff we use or have decided to cut back on. A report from Zillow.com on the housing market garnered a lot of press, though it just reconfirmed other past data, as in 28% of homes are underwater, 70% in Phoenix, higher in Vegas, and home values continue to drop, down 3% in the first quarter over the fourth. Zillow says prices have fallen 57 straight months and projects they'll fall another 7-9% before bottoming in 2012. And finally, Rajaratnam, the hedge fund king, was found guilty on all 14 counts of insider trading, securities fraud, and conspiracy, in what by many respects was the largest such case ever prosecuted and a huge victory for the U.S. government. The 53-year-old faces a probable sentence of 15 to 19 years when he is sentenced this summer, though his attorney, a-hole John Dowd, said he'd appeal before flipping off CNBC's cameras and uttering an expletive befitting a classless jerk. But nonetheless, we toast Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney, I apologize for butchering his name, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, who has just done a fantastic job, including charging 47 individuals, including the Rajaratnam case, with insider trading, 36 of whom have pleaded guilty or been convicted. For his part, Bharara recently said, "I wish I could say we were just about finished on this front, but sadly we are not. I say keep at it. That's all for this week. I will not be doing a podcast next Saturday, the 21st. I'll be back with you on the 28th. Have a great week. For further details, go to stocksnews.com and click on Week in Review. Take care.